Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenball. Hope you guys had a tremendous weekend. It's great to have you in this morning. Kevin Mitchell coming up in just a few minutes. John Dickinson with a 49ers training camp report at 9:15. Bob Melvin at 9:30. Now, the great Lorenzo Neal not with us today. He'll be on with Papa and Bonte live from Raider training camp 12 to 3 today. He will be back on Wednesday. We've got a great cast of characters that are joining us throughout the week. Congratulations to Michael in Oakland, winner of the K-Fox Summer Send-Off tickets. The correct answer to the trivia question was 1946. That was the last time the Giants found themselves this far out of first place, 34 and a half games. Now, Dibs, we went with not one, but two individuals to replace the great Lo Neal. How do you feel they're holding up so far?
Doing great. They're killing it. Of course, you know, the one cousin and then the surprise guest comes in a little bit nervous, but he settled in. I think they're doing great. But always, Joe, as you know, now a veteran of morning radio, it's the fourth hour that separates the men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff, the frost from the pumpkin, etc., etc.
Very true. This is where we get down to the nitty-gritty. Mm-hmm. We will introduce both guest hosts in just a moment, but for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
For one of the guests, I hope you noticed that I didn't jump the queue and reveal the names of the guests.
That's a pro move right there.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Well, deadline day is today in baseball, less than 4 hours from now. All eyes on Sonny Gray. The latest news from John Heyman of FanRag says the Yanks are still the favorites for Sonny Gray. The A's want 3 to 4 top guys in the next tier below the really elite Yankee prospects. Stay tuned to 95.7 The Game. We will break in immediately if there's any news surrounding Sonny Gray being dealt. He is scheduled to start tonight. Likely won't make that start. It's the Bay Bridge Series. A's and Giants from the Coliseum. 6:15, your dugout show. 7:05, first pitch. Here on 95.7 The Game, the A's come in off a win, a walk-off Yonder Alonso with a 12th inning homer. The Giants limp in after being swept in L.A., walked off by Kyle Farmer, who drove in two in his first ever Major League Baseball plate appearance. Story number three, let's go camping. The Raiders camp continues without Donald Penn as he holds out for a new contract. The team hoping for a quick resolution. Meanwhile, down in Santa Clara, things going rather smoothly. Reuben Foster talks about adjusting.
I got to just slow my roll. You know, it's a great thing, but at the same time, just keep learning and just try to get more picks probably.
We'll go live to camp. John Dickinson joins us in 10 minutes' time. The update brought to you by East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Expand your comfort zone in the spacious Mini Countryman today at East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Visit eastbaymini.com, eastbaymini.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Excellent work there, Dibs.
Thank you.
Our two guest hosts filling in for Lorenzo Neal. The one, you know him. I'll say you know him, you like him. I'm not sure how much you love. No, we love you, Goo. You are the first cousin of the program, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Excellent job so far today. How are you feeling heading in Tower 4?
I'm fired up, and I just want to say thank you, especially to you and Dibs, for not getting on me on my apparel. You know, I'm supporting Mario Ellie, who gave me this Orlando Magic coaching shirt.
Former Warrior.
Yeah, former Warrior. NBA champion, so you guys usually drill me about what I'm wearing, and today nothing, and then to be a part of
just calm down and put a bow on it.
I'm ready to go because I was about to wow.
How are you going to do it 2 hours in a row?
I didn't do it. What? What do you mean?
For those wondering what in the hell we're talking about, you know, just a simple introduction of Guru and our next guest. In the 8 hour, Guru just came right out and blew through it and started having another conversation with the next guest. And after being chastised for an hour about it, somehow he almost did it again.
Almost.
And you just reminded him.
Coach, I tried, Coach. He's a loose cannon over there. You can't control him. Union City's on the loose.
So, very happy to welcome in our other guest, the very well-known in the Bay Area, much more than I realized, Butcher Boy. How you feeling?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to turn the page from Giants baseball to 49er football.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am. After that sweep last night, that was brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Well, we're working on Kevin Mitchell, so we're not going to be able to get you away from Giant baseball.
That's okay.
That quickly. We've got John Dickinson and some Niners updates coming up in a bit, but let's talk MLB trade deadline as we work on bringing Kevin Mitchell into the program. 95.7 The Game is going to have you covered on the trade deadline with all the latest updates all throughout the day. So make sure you keep it here. Follow us on social media as well, at 957 The Game on Twitter. From John Heyman, a fan rag, which Dibs referenced in the update, the Yanks are still the favorite to land Sonny Gray. Some pieces have been agreed to, others are still being worked upon. The A's apparently want 3 to 4 top guys who are in that next tier before the elite tier, right? The elite tier of Yankee prospects, currently Clint Frazier and Gleyber Torres. They're looking for 3 to 4 guys in the next tier of prospects. Is this underwhelming here, Butcher Boy? Because I'm figuring if you're finally at the point where you're going to pull the trigger on the Sonny Gray deal, shouldn't you be getting back at least one massive prospect name?
I just think it's nauseating to hear about A's trades every year. For 25 years, Billy Bean, let's just admit it, he's addicted to the trade. And he keeps using this scapegoat. Oh, the stadium, you know, next time will be different. That sounds like a drug addict in rehab. This guy is addicted to the trade. At what point is this roster going to be set and ready to compete for the now? It's always about 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. I'm done hearing about Billy Bean and his trades and these second and third tier prospects who may or may not pan out.
We've got a bit of breaking news here. Tom Pelissero, where's he at these days? At USA Today, Tom's fantastic at what he does. I remember reading him, I believe in Minnesota, the Star Tribune, I think is where he got his start, or possibly in Green Bay, somewhere in the Great White North. Tom Pelissero, USA Today. The Cleveland Police Department confirms that the Gary and Conley case has been forwarded to a grand jury. So this is not going away.
This is awful.
So the news, if you're just joining us, the Gary and Conley case has been forwarded to a grand jury. Now, we were under the impression that the manner in which the Raiders were responding to questions about Gary and Conley, we expect it to be resolved shortly. We don't see too many issues here. We're hoping to get him into camp soon. Friday, they reached an agreement on a deal. The final player of the 2017 draft class had been signed. And now we find out on Monday this case is going to the grand jury. Dibs, not a good sign for the Oakland Raiders.
No, not the direction you would hope that it would go when there hasn't been any charges brought and there's been investigation. You hope that they'll find nothing and that the whole thing will be put to bed. But when you bring it to the grand jury, now they're going to have a chance to look at the evidence, whatever evidence they have, and either go forward and charge or dismiss from there. So hopefully the good news would be that this would get wrapped up here in the next couple of weeks with the grand jury taking a look at it. But the scary downside is if they decide that there's anything there that warrants charges, then this thing gets kicked up all over again, and now you got real trouble.
Yeah, here's the problem with the grand jury. You don't show up to defend yourself. The defense doesn't present a case. This is simply a group of individuals who are brought together on the grand jury. The prosecution lays out their evidence, their facts, and the grand jury decides, as Dib said, whether or not charges should be filed and the case should proceed. It's not that hard to get through the grand jury. So this is not a positive sign, Guru. The first thing you're thinking when you hear this in regards to the Oakland Raiders, perhaps it was a mistake to draft this individual or not?
Yes, a mistake. And
did you feel that way prior to this news?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
and I
so
was
you're
listening
still
to you, Bonte and Papa, at the Fox Theater, and I remember the sound. I thought it was going to be a standing O. It wasn't. A lot of people were scratching their head. They didn't know what to think, like myself. And the fact that there's been quiet on the set for so long, I just felt like this was looming. If the Raiders who said, McKenzie, we did our due diligence, they had me thinking, okay, this thing's nothing. Now that this is, they don't do this if they don't think they can get, indictment. So this is, to me, scary. And then I go back to DJ Hayden. You know, there's too much risk involved in their draft picks. And this is a dark cloud, which I don't think this team needs because they need help in the secondary. And this guy doesn't need any distractions.
Butcher Boy, as you hear this news, is this only going to get worse for the Raiders and Conley as we move forward?
Yeah, I just think this is another question mark. The Donald Penn question mark. You've got the Las Vegas leave question mark. You've got Derek Carr coming back from an injury question mark. You've got the linebacker situation question mark. And then just right across the bay, you see you had a chance to draft Reuben Foster. He was sitting there for you. You had a need at linebacker. And now the guy you've taken, who knows what's going to happen? And on the opposite end of that, contrasting it, Reuben Foster looks like, from all reports, that he's going to be a contributor right away. So I just think this is another question mark and another dark cloud hovering over a team that should be preparing to get ready for a Super Bowl contending season.
You make an excellent point about Reuben Foster. You had a needed linebacker, you passed. Understandable. The Niners feel they got a steal. The Raiders weren't interested. Completely understandable. But the next pick after Gary and Conley was Jabril Peppers, the defensive weapon out of Michigan. He was on the board, as was Tre'Davious White, the cornerback out of LSU. So there were other options available at positions you needed to address. Those are just a couple names that happened to take place after the Raiders picked in the first round. You go into the second round and later, you find other corners and other individuals this team could have taken. Now, again, still early. We're just finding out, Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, NFL.com, that Cleveland Police Department has confirmed the Gary and Conley case has been forwarded to a grand jury. But look at where we're at. You try to get through that window of when OTAs conclude and training camp opens without anyone getting arrested. Camp opens for the Raiders. Optimism's at its highest point in more than a decade. Donald Penn holds out. And now the news of Conley. This is starting to snowball. It's going to be very important to avoid the injury bug, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, and especially when you're looking at a first-place schedule this year, only 7 home games, a date with the Patriots in Mexico City, a lot of things that aren't necessarily stacked against you, but hurdles you didn't have last year with a tougher schedule, expectations on the rise, etc. And now you have this as a possible distraction for a secondary that desperately needs him to come in and be impactful. And this is why, Joe, when we had the show the day after the draft and we talked about the pick, I was vehemently against it because of the idea of this question mark being out there. And even though they did their due diligence, you can ask the young man what happened, but unless you were there, you don't really know what happened. And so inherently the pick becomes risky.
You know where this gets really dicey? PR perspective. How do 49er fans feel about Solomon Thomas right now?
Oh, they're through the roof.
They haven't even seen him.
Yeah.
And they're through the roof on him, right? Go through every single year in the weeks and months directly after that first round pick is made. By and large, the fan base feels pretty good. They want to buy some jerseys. They're starting to get into the hype. This kid's going to come in and contribute. What are Raider fans thinking of Gary and Conley right now? If he's not available for week 1, week 2, and Marcus Mariota eats you up a little bit, maybe you get into the season, Phillip Rivers eats you up a little bit, and he's not available to play. By the time he takes the field, that's not going to be a standing O. Do you know what the pressure is going to be like on him for Purdue at one of the toughest positions in the NFL? Raider fans aren't going to be willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Corner's already a bit of a question mark. DJ Hayden's still fresh in everyone's mind. And if this kid, who was deemed to be a great value because he fell, isn't able to get on the field and the Raiders struggle, people are going to blame him. Then when he does play, he's going to be under the microscope. He's not going to get that first-round rookie treatment where it's, he's young, give him some time, everything will be fine. Carl Joseph is a perfect example of that. People are going to expect him to produce right away. That's a lot of pressure to ask for a young kid in his first season in the NFL.
And schematically, you look at the division, Denver's got 2 stud receivers in Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. San Diego has Keenan Allen. You need to match up with these powerhouse AFC teams. You're going to go to Pittsburgh if you want to win in the playoffs. Someone's going to have to guard Antonio Brown. And you know New England's going to have that 3 wide receiver set. So forget the PR stuff. Schematically, they need this guy on game day.
We're going to get right back into the Gary and Conley story in just a moment. But for now, we're going to the phones. John Dickinson, 95.7 The Game reporter with a training camp report on the San Francisco 49ers. Good morning, JD. How's everything going?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be with you, as always.
It's great to have you with us, as always. Let's jump right into it. This season, how does it differ in terms of maybe, say, the mood around camp? 2 years ago, it was the Tom Sula administration. Last year, it was the Chip Kelly administration. How are things different this time around this early on?
Well, I think it's upbeat, but camp is camp, as you guys know. I mean, there's very little difference between one camp to another these days with the way everything's regulated across the NFL. I think there's a good pace to it. I think definitely a new energy in play, in particular on the offensive end. And one thing that just stands out, you know, from being at practice for a couple of days so far is the offense moving more smoothly, at least with the first team. And I think when you look at Brian Hoyer, I mean, that he's been a big part of that. He's looked competent and confident at the quarterback position, understands the offense. a guy that thinks he's pretty good, even if he might be average just in terms of the way his career has played out. But knowing the system, the familiarity, and the way he commands himself is just an upgrade in the watchability of a practice, I think, over the past couple of years. And that stands out as a difference.
How important will it be for he and Pierre Garçon to get on the same page as early in camp as possible?
Yeah, it'll be important, and Garcon's been pretty good, you know, getting the ball over the middle. He's not afraid to take on contact, though there's very little of that, obviously, in training camp. But he'll be a go-to guy, I think, for the 49ers, definitely, and somebody that's going to be, among the leading receivers. I'll tell you another thing that the Niners are going to do a lot of, and this comes from that Kyle Shanahan system, that they're going to throw the ball to the running backs a lot, and not just check downs and dump-offs, but they're going to put them out. They're going to put him out and have him give him an opportunity to make plays, I think, a little bit down the field and in the intermediate game. It's not just going to be screens and checkdowns. I think the running backs are key to watch in the passing game as well.
JD, probably the most fan favorite guy on the team outside of Joe Staley is Navarro Bowman. And I know they drafted Reuben Foster. How are the two of them going to play together? And what are you seeing from Reuben Foster that should maybe get 49er fans excited?
Well, the fact that he's had a couple of interceptions and he has a nose for the football this first weekend of camp, I think, is important, though he still hasn't been among the first stringers. I mean, they haven't played together or lined up next to each other as first team members. But Foster, you know, he joked that the ball's got a thing for him, you know, that he doesn't necessarily have a thing for the ball, but the ball tends to find him. So that's a positive thing. And then the leadership of Bowman. I mean, Reuben Foster's credited Bowman as a guy that he's been able to talk to, among the other linebackers and been able to, you know, instill little pieces of advice to him along the way, like not leading with his head as much what he's trying to tackle as he'd done previously. So I think it's been a seamless transition in terms of leadership goes, though at this stage of camp, Foster's still trying to work his way up the depth chart to a point where he's actually playing on the field with Bowman consistently.
JD, I know it's early, so the Niners aren't going to tip their hand, but with what you see, with what they have on the offensive side of the ball, how do you envision what style of offense this team will be?
Well, they're going to be a stretch running type of a team that's going to throw the ball. It's going to be a creative offense. I mean, look, it's going to be a different offense. I mean, the Kyle Shanahan's had a lot of success in this league at different stops. And I think, you know, they're trying to sort out who their top running backs are going to be. That, you know, Carlos Hyde's been somebody that's been praised in the early going as almost having an attitude or a focus adjustment from where he was maybe initially when this regime took over. You know, Tim Hightower's been somebody that looks like he's impressed. Another guy that kind of knows the system early on in camp. We mentioned Garcon. And I think they're going to throw the ball a lot to the running backs, as I mentioned as well. So, no, I think it's going to be an offense that's more competent than we've seen probably in the last 3 years. If you go back to the final year under Jim Harbaugh where nothing seemed to fit right. And then, of course, the Tom Sula years. And this is a much more intricate offense than what Chip Kelly was running in terms of play design and everything going on there also.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson. Follow him on Twitter at JD John Dickinson with Joe, Dibs, Guru, and Butcher Boy on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, JD. Look forward to catching up again soon.
All right, you got it, guys.
Well, all quiet on the San Francisco 49ers training camp front. A good sign. Not the case in Napa at Oakland Raider training camp. If you are just joining us, the latest news from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network and NFL.com, quote, the Cleveland Police Department confirms the Gary and Conley case has been forwarded to a grand jury. The way the grand jury works, relatively simple. You will not be showing up to defend yourself. You will not have your lawyers in the room laying out a case for why you didn't do what you're accused of doing. It's simply the prosecution laying out the facts and the evidence to a bunch of individuals, and they determine whether or not charges should be filed and the case should proceed. This is a tall, tall challenge that Gary and Conley is now up against. Contract got done on Friday. But I don't think he's going to be joining the team on the field anytime soon because he's got this issue to deal with. So, Dibs, everyone's worst fears as it pertained to the Conley pick a few months ago at the end of April, looks like they're starting to come true.
Yes, especially if they decide that there's enough evidence to charge. And I know that the threshold for proof at the grand jury level is relatively low, if I'm not mistaken. You don't have to necessarily have all the concrete evidence in order to bring charges. The grand jury looks at what's available. And you mentioned it, Conley's lawyer doesn't have a chance to go in and defend him at this stage. It's just a presentation of evidence to the grand jury, and this collective body decides then if there's enough to go forward. So the very fact that they think, the prosecutors think that there's enough to take it to the grand jury indicates that they feel like there's enough there to possibly have charges come out of it.
And I'm just thinking about Ken Norton Jr. and his mindset right now if charges are brought and his new toy, who he thought he was going to have at his disposal, was not available when Ken Norton Jr., we all know, is on the hot seat in this whole Pagano, another set of eyes for the defense. This is bad. I just hope charges are not brought on, but this is not how you want to start camp.
It's very uncharacteristic because part of the Raider turnaround was drafting these good guys like Khalil Mack and Derek Carr. And ever since they brought in Aldon Smith, you've had some of these off-the-field issues. Now, I know Aldon is an isolated incident, but this is a very calculated risk, especially with that top pick. They've just invested so much into this guy to come in right away and produce. And like we said, so many three wide receiver sets out there, and if you're going to get past New England, Pittsburgh, San Diego, Denver, you need this guy on the field.
That's what seemed. That's why I had so much confidence that this situation wouldn't get to this point. The Raiders had done such a good job of drafting what appeared to be character guys. Yeah. Carr, Mack, dudes you could bank on. I understand there are some misses here and there, but this isn't the Cincinnati Bengals. And when you couple that with the organization's history, i.e. Fred Biletnikoff and everything that happened with his family, you would think that the Raiders wouldn't take this risk unless they had it absolutely buttoned up, unless they knew everything they needed to know, 98% chance it's all going to be good. I think if you went back in time and you told the Raiders this is going to reach a grand jury, you think they're still taking the kid?
No, no chance. No chance. And they did their due diligence. According to them, they were, whatever, 99.99% sure or whatever it was that they had all the information and that, in fact, they were buttoned up. But, you know, when you have these incidents that happen between a man and a woman behind closed doors and it becomes he said, she said, and you don't really know what happened. We know that he was seen with her in the elevator and that he reportedly went back to the room with her. You don't know what physical evidence exists on either side. But to me, you got to take a cautionary approach when you're doing these things. The Raiders, to their credit, came out right away and said, we did our due diligence. We feel good about making this pick. And they went ahead and did it.
Let me ask you something. If this goes to court, the grand jury decides, you know what? There's enough evidence here to press charges. This thing can go to criminal court. And you put a jury together. An Ohio jury deciding the fate of a man who plays football in Oakland right next to where the Golden State Warriors play basketball and most recently played basketball against the Cleveland Cavaliers. What kind of effect do you think that could have? Do you think you can convince a jury to remain impartial, to not hold any ill will? He did play at Ohio State, so perhaps the jury, as Buckeye fans, would be willing to support him. Perhaps the jury, seeing that he's now an Oakland Raider, could hold that against him. Crazier stuff has happened.
Yeah, I think he's more likely to get supported in Columbus because of his close ties to Ohio State. But you make an interesting point. If it was, pick a warrior, and I won't actually name any of them because you don't want to put their name on it. But if it was a warrior draftee or a younger player who was involved in something in Cleveland, now you're looking at a different story altogether.
TJ Carey, looking at you. Here's your opportunity. Mm-hmm. Slot corner is going to be a big position for this team this year. Plus, your depth on the outside if something were to happen to Emerson or Sean Smith. TJ Carey, you're the next man up.
Yeah, and you look at, I just go back to the video of him with the young lady to where it looks like, you know, they were having a good time. And the fact that now he's in the NFL, I'm wondering if that will help him to where, you know, I'm just speculating to where the jury could be like, okay, this could be a money grab, you know. But you do have his friend saying nothing happened, and then he said something happened, but it was. That's when you're like, uh-oh. This is all you need for a professional Johnny Cochran-like lawyer to take it the other way. And you could, you know, it could get real ugly real fast.
Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and the Butcher Boy when we return the newest member of the 1,000 Wid Club. Bob Melvin joins the program. Back in a flash.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Swung on, fly ball. Deep left center field. Way back there. It will go. It will go. The sixth time is a charm. And Bob Melvin gets his 1,000th career win on a walk-off home run from Rajay Davis.
Hey, Bob, congratulations on win number 1,000 in your managerial career. Pretty amazing accomplishment. Keep it rolling, keep having fun, and good luck the rest of the season.
Congratulations to the entire athletics organization on getting Bob Melvin his 1,000th career win. Great coach, great friend. Good luck the rest of the way. Bo Mel!
Bo Mel!
Welcome back. Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and Butcher Boy. Guru and Butcher Boy filling in for Lo'Neal, who is in Napa. He's at Raider training camp. He'll be with Papa and Bonte from noon to 3 today. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, two-time manager of the year, manager of your Oakland Athletics, and the newest member of the 1,000 Win Club. It's Bob Melvin joining the show on 95.7 The Game. Bob, first off, good morning and congratulations on 1,000 victories. Took a few to get there, but at the end of the day, it's done. How's it feel?
Yeah, it took a while to get there, for sure. And, you know, it's one thing if we have a great season going, another thing, you know, that we don't. So just try to move on past it. And, you know, obviously thankful for some of the guys to go on and do those videos. Certainly Steve and Jim Harbaugh is pretty entertaining. So at least we got that out of it.
Also entertaining was yesterday's ball game with Yonder Alonso getting it done again. Do all the walk-off victories help to soothe a little bit of the pain of the losses this year?
It does, and, you know, our road record and our home record is pretty, you know, I mean, it couldn't be any more opposite. So, you know, we play a lot better at home. A lot of it has to do with these walk-offs. When we get, you know, late in games and you know, we come up to bat in the ninth inning, we feel like we have a chance to win, and it makes it feel a lot better. Our fans get involved here at home and, you know, for what's been a difficult season and certainly a real difficult road season.
Bob, you know, we hear all the rumors that Sonny might possibly be moved and he might not. And I'm just wondering, how does that work from a manager's perspective? Do you talk to Sonny? You know, have you talked to him, send him a text, or is it just one of those things to where you wait and find out where he's going to go?
You know, I talked to him after his last start because it looked like, you know, it is either going to be yes or no. And you know, at the time he was going to be a Sunday starter. We moved him back to today, so he's aware of what's going on. It's not the first time his name's bannered about in this type of thing. And when you're as good as he is, and where we are in the standings, these things are going to come up. And, you know, more and more every year, it seems like there's a focus on this. So it's just something you have to deal with. He's dealt with it well. I mean, look at the way he's pitched here recently. So I think from his standpoint, he just wants this day to pass, and whatever happens, happens. It's just kind of get it over with and then move on.
Bob, can we get Jim Harbaugh a leather glove? Why does he have to have that plastic one with the neon strings? I'm just curious.
I mean, no, that actually is a leather glove. I had that made for him a couple years ago and sent it to him for Christmas. It looks shiny. It is leather and has his name on it. We put some Michigan colors in it, so it looks a little different, but that's a pretty good glove he's got.
Bob Melvin with the show. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it needs a little minx foot oil or something in there. I got to get my dad in there to work it in for him because that thing looks stiff.
It is. He had a glove that he's had for years that he's caught, you know, all those foul balls with. And then, you know, we sent him this one, and apparently he doesn't have it broken in like he does the other one. But he enjoys all that stuff. He's got bats with his signature on him. He's got all sorts of good stuff. He's obviously a great football coach, but, boy, he loves other sports, and especially baseball.
Bob Melvin with Joe, Dibs, Guru, and Butcher Boy on 95.7 The Game. The annual Bay Bridge Series gets underway in Oakland tonight. Despite the fact that both teams might be a little bit out of it at the moment, there's got to be a little extra pep in the step for the guys in the clubhouse for this one, is there not?
Yeah, and a season like this is a nice little respite because it's always spirited, and you know, we get a good crowd, and both fan bases are there, and you know, there's as much going on in the stands as there is in the field, so it's always really exciting. You know, I've set off in the spotlight of the baseball world here in the Bay Area is on these four games, so they take on a little different feeling than some of the regular season games do.
This debate has broken out on the show before. I wanted to get your thoughts. Where do you land on the fans who will wear the split hat to the game? Half of it's Oakland A's, half of it's San Francisco Giants.
You know, it depends on what they're wearing it for. I mean, it's hard to believe that someone's a fan of both teams. You know, the way this series goes, and certainly the, you know, East Bay opposed to the other side of the Bay. So I think it's more of a novelty thing for maybe somebody that's not a Bay Area fan, because it's tough to find someone who's a fan of both teams and certainly doesn't have a little more of allegiance in one than the other.
Perhaps you could come out in the split cap, having played for the Giants and now manage the A's. You could.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Come on, Skip.
No. I have green in my blood. So, you know, that was earlier in my career, and certainly enjoyed my time there. But you find a fondness for the green and gold, especially here in the East Bay. And there's quite the rival between the two. So you're one side or the other, and certainly I'm green and gold.
Bob, you see my follow-up question coming before I even had a chance to get it out there. You know me too well. The scouting report was too good, Skip.
We've had shows together over the years. I know where you're coming from.
He's on to me, Joe. The Skipper's got me. He got me in the corner.
Bob, if I were to ask you about pleasant surprises, positives this season, I would have to imagine Sean Manaea would be, you know, close to the top of the list.
Yeah, he would. One thing, but we really felt like from the moment we got this guy that, you know, he was going to be the top of the rotation guy, and he's come along beautifully and just seems to get better and better as, you know, his tenure here goes along. I think he really relishes the fact that he wants to be a guy that, you know, the importance of when he takes the mound, it's a day that you feel like you're going to win, and we do when he does take the mound, so... you know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be a guy that hopefully is going to be around for quite a while and is going to be that guy. So you don't find too many guys, you know, big left-handers that have 3-plus pitches, have swing and miss stuff. And, you know, he's put himself in a position to have this conversation about being a number one at some point.
What have you thought so far about the defense Matt Chapman's been playing since being called up? This is a young prospect everyone knew had a lot of potential, but Bob, he's making web gems on a regular basis. The double play you guys turned the other day where he was diving down the line, I haven't seen anything that fast and efficient in a while.
Yeah, since like 4 days earlier in Toronto when he made the same play.
Exactly.
I mean, that's how good he is. We knew that coming in. We saw it in spring training, and certainly we work with them every day in spring and see that, you know, the defensive prowess, but now everybody's seeing it. I think athletically, as a third baseman, there aren't too many guys ever that have his athleticism, as you saw when he jumped over the Gatorade cooler yesterday and jumped over the cooler and stayed under the roof of the dugout, which was pretty athletic thing to do. So you get used to it. You know, you're going to see a lot of these type plays, the play, running play in Toronto down the line too, where he caught the pop-up. I mean, this guy's a highlight reel waiting to happen. So just enjoy it as we do, and you know, glad we have him here at the big league level finally.
Two-time Manager of the Year, manager of your Oakland Athletics, and the newest member of the 1,000 Win Club, Bob Melvin with Joe Dibbs, Guru and the Butcher Boy on 95.7 The Game. Thanks for your time today, Bo Mel. Congratulations again. Good luck tonight. We look forward to talking with you next Monday.
All right, guys. Take care.
Chapman's legit at third base.
He is.
I mean, he's been making some serious plays. More importantly, why is everyone so anti-split hat? I saw everyone in here looking like they're about to throw up a little bit. Butcher Boy, what's the problem with split hat?
Well, first off, it's criminal, number one. It should be prosecuted by death.
Someone get the grand jury together.
You got to understand, we were talking about the Bay Area.
Too soon?
Very
too soon based on the Conley news?
Too soon.
Okay, yeah, it was only about 15 minutes.
It's good material, though.
Sorry about that, everyone.
The Bay Area is so territorial. There's such a divide between A's and Giants fans. The Giants are what the A's used to be. They had the sexy stadium, the sexy manager, all the sexy players. They had the better attendance. And now the pendulum swung, and the Giants have all those things, as well as the championship titles that the A's always had. And anybody who rocks the Giants and A's cap, I mean, you could just go. I mean, I don't – Guru, am I wrong?
You're not even a fan.
Thank you.
We're here in the Bay Area. There's no fence sitters. You pick a team. And the only one basketball team we have, the dynamic Golden State Warriors, everybody agrees on. But here it's Raiders, Niners, Giants, and A's. Yeah. Don't wear that hat. You got to be a fan, a diehard. You pick a team, mm-hmm. and you ride with that team. You don't get two teams. You don't see Yankee fans wearing Yankees and Mets. That's criminal. You
strong
pick
opinion
one
from
side.
A man wearing an Orlando Magic shirt in here this morning.
Mm-hmm. Courtesy of Mario Elie.
Yeah, well, NBA regardless, champion. You come in here rocking everything. The Pirates, you're talking about McCutcheon this morning, you're wearing the Magic.
Three home runs.
Hollering about what everyone else can and cannot wear. Can you believe this guy?
I can't. I got a friend who's the GM at the Atlanta Hawks. You don't see me rocking Hawks gear, do you?
If he sent it in the mail, I'm sure we'd see you.
I'm wearing it
in
home. Right? I wouldn't wear it to work.
I went to Europe 12 years ago. I'm not wearing a Paris Saint-Germain shirt. You see me wearing that?
Yeah,
did you like that?
I love PSG. Yeah. Love that.
Well, you guys make some great points.
Standing there in this Orlando Magic shirt. It's criminal. You're not allowed to do it. Pick side. I'm just staring at the shirt.
But there is a Bay Area connection with Mario Elie being the former
Golden
State Warriors.
Yeah, I know. You got to throw the shout out that you guys are friends. We get it.
From the U.
Yeah. All right. How about this? You think things are bad for the Raiders to an extent right now. Bit of concern over the Gary and Conley situation. According to reports, the grand jury is forming. Ugh. You got the Donald Penn holdout. Get a load of what the Chargers just pulled on two of their superstar athletes. We'll have that for you next. Joe, Dibs, Guru, Butcher Boy, 95.7 The Game.
Boom, Mel!
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Roxy Bernstein, Matt Stein, Mets coming up 10 to noon. We're going to get to Roxy in just a moment, but get a load of this. This is how you endear yourself to your team. New Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn is insisting that Philip Rivers and Antonio Gates attend a day of training camp over former teammate LaDainian Tomlinson's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. That's according to the Sporting News' Alex Marvez. So think about that. Anthony Lynn, new head coach, is telling two future Hall of Famers, Antonio Gates and Philip Rivers, you cannot miss a day of training camp to go to Canton to watch your boy, LaDainian Tomlinson, get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It's
how's
a joke.
That, how's that going to play out in the locker room?
Well, Gates is going anyway, he said. Mm-hmm. So there's that. So now Lynn's going to have to decide whether or not he wants to draw his line in the sand in early August and say, well, now you're going to have to be punished because I told you not to go. It's really easy, Joe. In this day and age of airline travel, what you do is you practice, they go to Canton, you give them the day off, they come back, nobody's worse for the wear. Is Philip Rivers really going to be grinding through hardcore reps in early August? No, you know what Antonio Gates is going to give you. Get out of your own way. Let the guys go to Canton. If not, you're going to create a big problem for the future.
Maybe he's concerned Philip Rivers doesn't know the playbook, much like Blake Bortles.
Right.
He needs those reps. Guru, where do you stand on this?
Lynn has a ego, and it's not how you want to endure yourself to your new team, especially the two Hall of Famers. It's a joke to me. You pull that with rookies or whatnot, but to flex your muscle and try to be Clint Eastwood and tell these guys they can't go, that's ridiculous.
As a young head coach, a move like this, Butcher Boy, you could lose the locker room that fast in Los Angeles.
Where's Dean Spanos? This is one of the top three players in your organization's history, Junior Seau, Dan Fouts, LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, everybody in the organization should be there. This is the best player in the last 35 years of your organization. It's absurd.
Is LT on Mount Charger more, Dibs?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Butcher Boy named immediately the top ones you'd have to go with. I think Kellen Winslow for the time he had in San Diego, but certainly Seau and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Danny
Fouts, yeah. Shout out Marin Catholic High School.
I noticed his name, Lorenzo Neal, suspiciously absent from this conversation of Mount Charger Moore.
Where is he today?
Mount Raider Moore.
Exactly.
Roxy Bernstein and Matt Steinmetz from 10 to noon. Roxy in studio joining us now. Hell of a job on the call this weekend for those A's victories. More importantly, though, the A's are in the headlines as we approach the 1 p.m. trade deadline. Do you think Sonny Gray is gone by 1 p.m.?
First off, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
You know what's funny? Joe, is for a while I was kind of resigned to the fact that he was gone, that they're going to move Sonny and this is it, this is the direction they're going in. But the longer this thing is going on and the more you hear, and not just what you see in the media, but people I talk to in baseball, scouts, and look, not anybody internally in the A's or the Yankees, but if the prospects aren't there, if the Yankees aren't going to part with the pieces the A's want, the A's aren't going to make the trade. They're not just because the Yankees want Sonny Gray. Well, here, take him. Go ahead, have him. That's not how this works. The A's have specific targets in mind, and if they don't get the guys they want, they're not making the trade. They'll back away.
I can't do another year of this. I can't do another year of this.
You don't like seeing him pitch every fifth day?
I love him. Give him the long-term deal then. Well, we can't have another year of speculation. Just sign him or trade him. For the love of God.
How about this day for Sonny Gray? You don't know if you're going to pitch tonight or not. You're supposed to start tonight against the Giants for the A's. And you're
I just go to the beach.
All day.
I go hang out at Mount Tam. Just check out the views. I mean, what the hell? They scratched it yesterday. Scratch them today. Throw Blackburn out there.
They're already
huge favorites. The line's on the board in Vegas. So Vegas is convinced Blackburn is pitching tonight. Mm. If they thought it was up in the air, you would not be able to bet this game right now. This line is available at every single sports book.
Well, Blackburn's been pretty good. Now, he's not Sonny
Gray.
But in his handful of starts he's made in the big league level, he's pitched great. But it really is unsettling, not just for Sonny, but how about everybody in the clubhouse? They don't know Yonder Alonso what's happening. Will Jed Lowry be on the move? These are pieces that some other teams could want. And this is, and not just the A's you're dealing with this, but the Giants also. What's going to happen with their clubhouse? Will Jeff Samardzija still be a Giant after the deadline? Will somebody take a chance on Johnny Cueto? What's going to happen with Brandon Belt? Could he be on the move? There's all these decisions that both sides need to make heading up to this 1 o'clock deadline.
From 10 to noon today, it's going to be you and Steiny. What do you guys got for us? Just a little sample, just a tip.
George Contos will be on the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, and there's another guy that could be on the move.
Maybe midway through, he'll have to drop off the call. Guys, I've been trading.
I got
to
take this.
Huge breaking
news. Evans on the phone.
Can you ask him about the Amy G. Presidio golf segment on NBC Authentic? He's been downhill ever since that thing came out.
I missed it.
Yeah,
so
you missed nothing.
Know.
You missed
really?
Nothing.
Oh, no, you lead with that.
Yeah.
Lead with that.
Is it,
whatever it is,
it's
we'll
gold.
Get you the
it's absolute gold. Yeah.
I got Eric Longenhagen coming on. He works with Keith Law at ESPN and writes for Fangraphs as well. He's my go-to guy for prospects, so I'm going to ask him about all these different people around baseball and the players that are rumored to come in possibly for the A's or the Giants and what each team has in their farm system. Plus, we're going to catch up with Dan Shaughnessy from Boston and catch up on the David Price whole Dennis Eckersley.
Shaughnessy was fantastic on that story.
Oh, that column was great, so we got him on the show today.
Where do you
as well.
Land on that? You've been in broadcasting a long time.
I think it was gutless by David Price.
Yeah. He's got thin skin.
Call. Who's
Boston's
hurt again.
Not for everybody.
You're getting paid $30 million a year, and you're going to confront one of the greatest pitchers, and you could make the argument he's the greatest closer we've ever seen in the game of baseball, and there's not a more stand-up guy than Dennis Eckersley. He gave up the biggest home run in the history of the game, right? In game one of the World Series in 88. He stood there at his locker for over an hour answering every question after he served that up. You think David Price would do that?
No.
Price
has got an excuse for everything.
This is shameful.
In Tampa, in Detroit, there's always a reason. Yep. It's not his fault. His ERA is through the roof. It's not his fault. It's never his fault.
It's gutless. You went after the wrong guy in this situation. Yep. Eck is Eck. He's going to say what's on his mind. He doesn't care. He's not hard to find. I know he's not going to the clubhouse, but that goes from an issue that happened a couple of years ago. It's just poor behavior on the part of the Boston Red Sox.
Great stuff. Save some of it for the show. Terrific stuff.
I'm not done?
Roxy Bernstein, Matt Stein, Mets, 10 to noon. Hot on a lot of issues, apparently. I can't do the Sonny thing.
Surprise, Rice didn't get suspended by the Red Sox.
Who? Price?
Price.
They need him. They're a dead heat with the Yanks, but he's as thin-skinned as they come.
And now he's hurt
Listen
anyway.
To that interview with Shaughnessy. Shaughnessy ripped him, too. What's your deal, man? $30 million a year? You haven't won anything.
Loser.
You ever see him pitch in the World Series and win a monster game multiple times like Bumgarner? No, he's the guy that goes MIA in the postseason, Butcher Boy.
I mean, Eckersley, how can you go against Eckersley? 150 wins, 150 saves. I think John Smoltz is the only other guy in Major League Baseball history to do that. And that's what his job is to critique you. You got to take it, man. If you're making that kind of money, you better have some thicker skin than that.
Great working with you today, man.
I
hope you enjoyed it.
A lot of fun. I'm really humble, and thank you guys, and I'm appreciative.
We'll get a picture after.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know so much about you.
Yeah, I'm not
today.
Photogenic.
Just jumping in with the introductions, the magic T-shirt. Not bringing donuts.
If I could get the Thornton bar when I come in to work, if I could get him for 4 hours – We'd be best friends because that Ford and Vaughn, this one, they differ. When the lights come on, it's a different Joe.
I don't know what you're saying, Guru. He's as warm and fuzzy on the air as he is off. What the hell's wrong with you, Guru?
Good stuff from all. Had a blast today. Thank you for tuning in. It's going to be Roxy and Steinmetz from 10 to noon today. They're going to have you covered right through the trade deadline here at 95.7 The Game. But for the Butcher Boy, for Guru, for the Low Neil, who you can catch from 12 to 3, for Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fornball. Great hanging out with you today, everyone. We're back tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Boom out!